This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really, truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money, dude. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Well, all right, all right, all right. Let's get right into this here on WFO Radio. Super Bowl party week, and we have got a lot to get into. In fact, folks, you know, I like to give the whole first-time listener speech, and if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. And there's a lot of reasons why you might be a first-time listener, and I will tell you why. But if you just click the link and you don't know what you're getting, because there's a lot of options on this website or app, depending on where you're listening, how you're listening on iTunes. Nitro, which is the other show, is pretty much strictly NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series interviews. It's a magazine show focused on NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. We've got some interview clips and press conferences. Also, the NHRA press conference, the Jeff Gordon press conference from last week is up there. If you're looking for that, Ignition is a show where we basically, it's the stew of everything, where we have fun. And this is going to be 2 hours of entertainment. Not going to be hard news. Not going to be interviews. Going to be entertainment. At least for us. And if you want to listen in as we get ready for the Super Bowl and get ready for the start of the NASCAR season and talk about the Rolex 24 and all the crazy stuff that has happened along the way, including the getting ready for our big WFO Radio Fantasy League championship that starts with the Daytona 500, stick around. You will like it. It's the kind of thing that you need to listen to, I think, 2 or 3 episodes in a row to get it, to understand, oh, this is what that is. Okay. It's like my morning radio guys that I listen to on my way to work. And the stuff that happened yesterday is going to leak over into what happens tomorrow. And I need to check back in, except we do the show once a week, Ignition. And you can subscribe on iTunes, and we want you to do it. And we want you back, and we will covet you if you do. And now we have to move on with the program because we have so much stuff this week. It is Super Bowl week, the Seahawks and the Patriots, and we're going to devote the next 2 hours to Deflategate. Just kidding. Don't go anywhere. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Let's bring Giovanni into the show before we go any further. Giovanni in Miami. Hey, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
All right.
It's Super Bowl week. You love this.
Ooh, all right. Absolutely do.
I am excited as well. And there are a million reasons. First of all, I'm a huge NFL fan. I love the NFL. I enjoy it. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. Haven't really got to taste this nectar in a long, long time. Believe, ages. So when was the
84.
Last? 84. Dan Marino versus Joe Montana. And we had it. We had it. And then it all fell apart for reasons that we will not discuss here on, you know, maybe that is premium audio for the day that we do that kind of stuff. That is perfect. Write that down on the list, Gio. The real reason the Dolphins lost.
They got ran out of gas in the second half.
They just were somehow.
Out of gas.
Not quite motivated physically as they were. Yeah. Listen, it's the regional Miami thing that you might not get. But.
It was going on in the 80s.
Yes. Premium audio at some point in the future.
All right.
Now, I love the NFL, but I'm a car guy. And thus my love and passion for drag racing and NASCAR. And the Super Bowl means a couple of things. Number one, it means the greatest single sporting day on earth as far as the mainstream. Everybody's into it. The commercials, the game, the pregame, the Katy Perry, the everything. Whose nipple is going to pop out? You never know.
Well, that's not happening anymore.
Oh, how the world has changed and directly affected my life. Folks, you are hearing this show right now because of Janet Jackson's right breast. That is a fact.
Nipplegate.
Fact. We should have had Mark Eisenberg in to talk about that, but we didn't. And there's a million reasons why. There's a million reasons for everything. Like this show, we've got so much material, it's definitely going to stink. Because we are trying to squeeze 50 pounds into the 5-pound proverbial bag. And we're not going to be able to do it. I got too much. I got too much on me, Gio. I can't do it. Because Tommy Noodles is coming on. He's going to threaten everybody. He's going to threaten to pick their driver and put the curse on him.
Ivy.
He's going to narrow it down. We're going to do a couple of segments. Then we're going to bring Tommy on. Tommy's going to do his thing. If you don't know Tommy Noodles, my old partner from XM, we uncovered the fact that everybody he picked all of a sudden went into a nosedive in terms of their career. And each year he comes on the show and picks a new driver.
Curses a new driver.
And it, sure enough. And over the past couple of seasons, it has turned in not just their racing career, like their lives have gone down. And he's going to
now. Yeah, he's got AJ fired, Adderall.
Yeah.
He's got Kurt Busch into clink.
Domestic violence. Yeah, it's really bad. But he's going to be picking a new driver on the show next week.
I mean, that Kurt Busch curse, I mean, it almost cursed the whole team. Somehow, Harvick managed to win the championship, but he swept TS in there with him.
Yeah, bad stuff. But Noodles is going to be on the show. We've got the Super Bowl stuff. We got Jeff Gordon stuff. I want to preview the WFO Radio Fantasy League. I've got a contest that I'm going to, it's like a kumite between two WFO Radio listeners that I dreamed up last week after the show that I just love. Like, I love this. I really don't know what I'm going to do with it. So there's all kinds of stuff. So stick with us. I was thinking we were going to open the phones, but I don't know if we can do it.
Yeah,
this week, let's not do it.
Nope.
We'll get off track.
Yep. That's exactly what's going to happen.
We just put up the NHRA press conference audio.
And I'm not going to say anything, but I know the three guys are going to call immediately, so.
We've got some passionate diehard listeners, right? And chronics that call on
a chronic
basis. Of course. It's just a tremendous thing. You know, I would love to tell the Janet Jackson a breast story, but I don't have time. Sorry. Premium content. That is not available currently. You know what we never heard?
No.
We never heard Gio totally blow it with Don the Snake Prudhomme. That's still out there. That's why you have to listen every week.
I totally forgot about that.
You just never know what we're going to drop on you on WFO Radio. Now, this past week on Nitro, tremendous show on Nitro. We had the war stories. We had Matt Smith. We had Brittany Force. And the NHRA press conference with John Force, Tony Schumacher, and Dave Connolly just went up. And the whole thing is there are so many people who have jobs that they need to kill a little time through the audio experience. Not every
corporate time stealing weasels.
You can't just be sitting around watching YouTube all day long, but you can have an earbud in and listen when you're delivering mail. Like every letter carrier, they got the earbuds in. What are they listening to?
The guy in the mailroom?
Some of them are racing fans. Well, we're for you. So enough pitching the show. Let's get into it. First of all, WFO Fantasy League information. We have got 100 spots for the WFO Fantasy League. We need to figure out, Giovanni, you and I, we, me, us, need to figure out a system. Because this is a problem. We have a problem.
Okay.
Last year we had approximately 80 people participate, and about 10 people of those 80 people kind of just dumped off at the end, and we want
somewhere throughout the season
expunge them from the group, and maybe they will make an excuse why they don't deserve to be expunged. But now that we have the Super WFO Fantasy League trophy, and oh, by the way, we're several minutes in, 9 minutes in to the show, the Jeff Gordon thing is going to be like dissected every which way. But show business has to come first. Because next week, we're going to start giving the WFO Fantasy League information. But we need to figure out a formula that we can utilize for the next couple of years. Because what we want to do is we just want to keep this at 100 slots. And let's assume next year, we have 10 times the amount of listeners that we have right now. But if we just keep giving the same 100 people a shot at the league, that's unfair to all the new listeners. I was thinking about this moments ago. That's unfair. So what? I'm a new listener next year, and so I just never get a chance? and everybody.
What do you mean? Yeah, as soon as they hear the thing, they get in. I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, what if someone who has been in the league for 5 years in a row misses the thing? Then they're just out?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We need to create a system. I know you're not going to be able to create the system under pressure at this moment. But what I'm thinking is maybe the top 40 lock themselves in. If you finish in the top 40, you're guaranteed a spot for next year. With exception of like past champions provisional, past champions are always locked in. Okay? So that would be like 50 spots. And then the bottom 50 spots, either first come, first serve, when we give the information, and people are just going to have to be sitting by their computer. But Joe, I've been in for 10 years and I couldn't be in there because I was in the hospital. Sorry, you weren't there. Are we going to do that to people?
Look, at that point, you know, maybe we'll go over 100. Maybe,
no,
who knows?
No, no.
I just, come on. You know, like.
No, we got to come up with a system. You're not thinking. Right. You're not thinking long enough. You're not thinking long term enough.
All right.
I'm not blaming you. You're acting like I'm shaming
you.
No,
I just don't think that. Never mind. Never mind.
It's not never mind. It's like we have to figure this out before next week.
Okay.
And we're inviting the listeners to come up with a Chase-style strategy.
See, that's the thing. I don't think that we have to figure it out before next week. That's the whole point.
Well, I'm going to start giving out codes next week.
I understand that part of it, but I just don't think that we're up against a hard number or a hard date like next week.
No, I don't think we're going to have over 100 people that want to get in the league this week. But whatever the system we use, I'm going to announce before the season starts.
Well, it would be great, but...
Like if Gio, for instance, finishes 80th, you're still going to be in the league next year because you're on the show. But if random listener 27 finishes 80th next year and they've played for 5 years in a row, does that automatically entitle them to the following year?
Yeah, why not? If they've been in here 5 years in a row, they can have a bad year. Now, if they sucked every year, then maybe, you know, maybe they need to be excommunicated. We'd have to research that.
Okay, see, you're creating work for us. That's why this is tough. That's why this is tough, and we got to think about it. We got to come up with something. It's going to be very interesting to do it. Rolex 24 this past weekend, I watched most of it. I think the folks at Fox did a great job of putting it somewhere and telling me where to go. It was great seeing Bob Varsha.
I think that was the most important thing.
Bob Varsha?
No, that it was out there and you knew exactly where to go. And you went from either the Fox Sports 1 to the Fox Sports 2.
Back and forth.
Back and forth, and it was pretty good. And they kind of even warned you, all right, we're going to switch right now. So get over there. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of easy. I think I've seen more than I've seen in years just by leaving it on and walking around and doing whatever it was I was doing casually on Saturday. And then Sunday morning I woke up, you know, bright and early with the Rugrat, and he mentioned something about the race from the night before with it over. And I'm like, no, actually, it's on right now. We turned it on like at 7 o'clock in the morning and just left it on in the background until it finally ended.
Big fire at the end. It was great. I enjoyed the heck out of it. The previous year, and I confessed here on WFO Radio, because Speed had just gone away, Fox Sports 1, that whole transition was happening. Didn't watch any of it. Zero. That was the first year of the Tudor Championship too, the combined. I don't know. I wasn't into it, which is sad. This year, dialed in. Maybe I should say locked in. And it was great.
Yeah.
Scott Dixon, like Jamie McMurray, gave Scott Dixon the ultimate compliment you can possibly give anyone. Basically said he's the greatest driver of our time.
I think that's exactly were his exact words. He pretty much fellatioed him.
He pretty much. After 3.5 hours, went out there and put it on the edge. Meanwhile...
No, he drove a perfect last stint, brought it home. And then they even tried... I saw a couple of headlines where they said that that other team...
Taylor.
...gave away the race. They weren't winning when that happened.
They weren't winning.
And they weren't going to win anyway. It was really going to be hard for them. It would have been a minor miracle for them to get around that target.
They would have had to have knocked him, crashed him out of the way, or used some sort of unscrupulous means. Max Angelelli, Jordan Taylor, those guys.
And the other Taylor brothers.
Yes. Now, that was a horrific error.
Big mistake. Come on.
But the answer is, there's a couple of different answers. One, you should do what Chip Ganassi does. That's number one, because Chip Ganassi knows what he's doing. It's simple. Success leaves tracks, people. A great friend of ours... that's a coined phrase. Success leaves tracks. Watch what Chip Ganassi does. Four drivers. Four drivers. Four drivers. Why would you have four drivers? Why would four drivers be better than three drivers? Well, when you have four drivers, you can drop someone else in there during a middle stint of the race, and that way none of your drivers ever gets over the 4 hours and six hours limit.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, I actually saw somewhere where they were calling it the Ganassi Super Team, and he says that that's not it at all, that they have eight drivers and they draw the names out of a hat. And they pick two teams of four out of a hat, and that's how it runs, that they don't specify which guys are going to run with whom.
Chip, man, the guy is the goods.
Yeah, they know how to win this
race. Scott Dixon, Tony Kanaan, Kyle Larson. How about the guy in his second time ever? He was just out there running up front late in the race in the Chili Bowl, and 2 weeks later, he is winning the Rolex 24. Is Jeff Gordon's retirement and Kyle Larson's emergence going to be
the passing of the torch, like when
Richard
Gordo
Petty
took it from Petty?
Yes.
Yeah.
The new super talent. The talent that is just so good that he transcends and elevates the sport. Is Kyle Larson that bright? Well, he's getting married.
I don't know what he's got above the shoulders.
I don't know how
he's definitely
he
got talent. He's got driving ability.
What are you doing, kid? Come on. Corvette team wins in GT Le Mans.
That was good.
Jan Magnussen, Garcia, and Ryan Briscoe. Ryan Briscoe, great win for the C7 Corvette. Great stuff. I enjoyed the heck out of it and had a great time. Had a great time watching, like a little racing. And now it's time to get geared up, revved up. Rock and roll. I think the combined series is better. Maybe too many classes out there like that prototype cup. I don't know. Not really finding myself caring about that.
It was only four classes. I think it would be much more complicated if there was six or eight.
Yeah.
It didn't seem that
prototype
terrible.
And prototype cup. You know. And then there's GT Daytona, which is was won by a Viper. Think about that. Also, another headline that I immediately noticed and saw get out there and was very excited about it. Detroit, all Detroit. Ford EcoBoost wins prototype, blue oval. Chevrolet Bowtie C7 Corvette wins GT Le Mans. GT Daytona won by Dodge Viper. I don't know when the last time that happened. Just more evidence that you're living through the golden age of Detroit muscle right now. And the really astute listeners are saying, hey, isn't Chrysler Fiat? Yeah, well, yeah, in many ways. All right, we got a lot to go. We got to talk about Danica, the big Danica band commercial. Band. We're not even supposed to talk about
censored.
It. Censored. It's been censored. It's been pulled from the Super Bowl. We were going to see it. And now we're not.
But doesn't GoDaddy have an ad that they do this with every year that they put out there? And then it gets pulled. I think this is part of their marketing scheme.
Wait, this is strategery?
Just saying. Doesn't this seem to happen every year with one of their ads? Oh, this one got banned. Didn't make the whatever the cut.
The censors.
Or the censor saw it and they rejected it. But come see it online. And now this one, they put it out there and some people didn't like it. And so they're going to pull it. But it's got like 10 million hits probably already.
We're talking about it.
Because it's actually kind of funny.
It is funny. I don't like it, but it's funny. I don't have to like everything to find it funny. But it's the poor dog, man. Leave him alone, you know?
I mean, it's not like we see him go to, like, the meat grinder.
But that's
something.
Where he's going, right?
No, he's been given to – he's been found a lovely home. They sold him on the internet.
There's a sign on the side of Danica's van, which I didn't get to see it. It closes so fast and goes away. It's a business. I got to see what the business is. Maybe it's something really super cute. Maybe it's a pet store. Maybe it's a puppy mill. I don't know. But it is kind of funny in a dark, dark humor kind of way. We'll get into it. But when we come back, we got to get into Jeff Gordon. Obviously, the greatest driver of our lifetime has announced that it will be his final season. His final season. Jeff, no. What are you doing? Why? 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 And the answer is because he's got a super hot wife and two great kids, and he's got like, you know, seven, eight figures in the bank and like a massive super yacht. It's like the weather out there in Malta right now is awesome. I just picked that. It popped into my head. He'll probably be right off South Beach here.
He'll be all over.
Before we go any further, because I want to talk about Marvin Rodak, who had a great experience at the Zest Fest this past weekend. But often on our program, we joke around about the weather, where listeners are. Some are in cold and some are in warm. And when you're in the warm area, it's like, oh, it's really super hot. Wow. And where we are, it's usually hot. But right now, we know a lot of our WFO radio listeners are shut in, locked in the snow, in the great blizzard of 2015.
Juno.
Which turned out to not be as bad as they had originally forecast.
Yeah, but I mean, I think there's an art to that too, you know. Well, no one ever gets in trouble at the Weather Channel for exaggerating the storm, you know what I mean?
Well,
think of how when the hurricanes are coming down here, ah, the sky is falling. Our local 7 News is getting people.
Look at this coconut. This coconut is rolling down the road. The wind is blowing the coconut down the road. If you can zoom, let me get my camera around. If you pan around, you will see.
And then they'll show you a puddle in front of my driveway and tell you that the whole street is flooded.
The raindrops are in the puddle. The weather is coming down.
Precipitation is falling.
Yeah. But they prepared real well for this.
No,
blizzard.
Look. The bottom line is that we want to over-prepare people for these storms because it'd be much worse if they did nothing and then their storm comes and, oh my goodness, what are we going to do?
Apparently, a lot of the political types in the Northeast are being called on the carpet a bit for doing what you're saying, over-preparing the public.
No, there's no such thing as over-preparing when that kind of weather is coming. So it didn't get as bad as it could have been, but first of all, I saw the amount of snow in that whole New England area. I mean, it didn't get as bad in New York as they said it was going to.
Right, they only got 8, not 28.
Boston, New Hampshire, and all of that up New England, northern east coast, northern seaboard got plowed.
Yeah. No, Brian Lone's from Bang Shift is
up there. No power.
Buried into his neck.
Yeah, man, that's cruel.
No, it is. It's like man versus weather.
I mean, I know down here we've gotten grown accustomed to everyone's got their own portable generator because the power can go out any time in the summer with even minor tropical storms that aren't even hurricanes because a lot of times those are 70, 80 mile an hour winds. They're just not really hurricanes, but we get that all summer long. So everybody's got a portable generator, but I mean, I don't know what kind of preparations they need to start making up north or start looking at because this is becoming a yearly thing, kind of like our hurricane season. So
it does certainly seem to be becoming a yearly thing. And
allow me to take a quick minute to tell you, anybody that wants to come down to sunny South Florida, we will find you wherever you want to live. Condo, townhouse, luxury house, whatever it is, luxury real estate. We are here for you. Geo will sell you and find you whatever you want.
You just have to contact me, joe@wforadio.com. But Geo, what about the hurricanes? Aren't they scary?
No, not at all. Everybody's got shutters. I just told you, we all got our,
talk about
generators, the
hurricane code.
And the hurricanes come.
We have a huge hurricane code.
Yes. Oh, forget even building code. Nobody's interested in building code.
No?
Building code is really stringent down here. But no.
That's what I'm saying.
The hurricanes give you plenty of warning.
You can definitely get out of Dodge.
You can have a hurricane party. You can get out of Dodge. You can do whatever you want.
You can go to Vegas while it's all going down.
We've actually done stuff like that around here. Left before the hurricane.
Look, when faced with any kind of natural disaster, it's always a terrible thing. But if you look at them from wildfires and earthquakes, tornadoes, blizzards, landslides, they all really are unappealing. The hurricane is also unappealing. One could come this coming hurricane season and wipe us all out. But you know what? The likelihood of it happening, I'll take the odds. There you go. But right now, it's time to talk about our great friend, Marvin Rodak at RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Now, if you're a WFO radio listener, and I know many of the WFO radio listeners have tried the Rodak's experience, I want to talk to the people who haven't. If you haven't yet enjoyed some Rodak's coffee, I think now is the time.
What are you waiting for?
Well, they're probably saying to themselves, well, I'm not really a coffee guy. I'm not really a coffee drinker, Gio.
I'm not really a coffee drinker, but Joe gives me some every week. And it's great. Ah!
And you enjoy it. That's
I
the
do.
Thing.
I
is
really
at a
do.
Certain point in your life, you
I'm
start
not into the hot liquids, but that it's great.
You start
Gets
drinking.
Me going for the show.
It's great. It is a wonderful experience. And you can give Marvin a call and find out about all the great coffee that they have. We have a blend named after WFO Radio. Like, who wouldn't want to have the WFO radio blend sitting on their counter in the morning waiting for them. But maybe they don't. Maybe they want to try one of the other 40 single original coffees that they can choose from that represent the top 5% of coffee grown all around the world. And plus, it's roasted fresh for your order. So that's like personalized experience. The coffee is roasted for you. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots of coffee that they buy farm direct. Some farms only grow 10 sacks a year. Think of how many beans that is. Very few. They've even got five exotic coffees from Jamaica, the Sumatra Kopi Luwak, which is processed by...
the Kvat. It goes right through the digestive system.
Two steps prior to the growing of the new plant. Panama Geisha, the Australia, Puerto Rico, and the Hawaii Kona coffee, all available at... we got to get Marvin on here to talk about the Kvat, because he's an expert. Like, you got to hear this guy. He knows his coffee. And what he really likes is to hear from you. Like, Marvin, this is when I'm going to have it in the morning with this kind of food. I'm going to have it then. This is what I want. And he can actually direct you to a really customized coffee experience. But they've also got Bang the Blower. They've got WFO Radio and hot sauces. This past week at the Zest Fest out there in Texas, bunch of WFO radio listeners show up at the Zest Fest. They're hanging with Marvin. Marvin is out there with the hot sauces. Next thing you know, Marvin is getting personalized phone calls from super VIP Nitro champions that I will not mention to talk about the coffee and the hot sauce. This stuff is hot, both figuratively and literally. So if you're the person who has not yet tried the WFO radio blend of coffee or the habanero hot sauce,
endorphin booster,
which Gio actually broke out at his house and allowed me to use some the other day for the very first time. Finally broke through, folks. I win. Victory. Or even the 826 spice rub, you got to get in on it. 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell them, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in
and Redline Motor Oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called a champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't get in the way.
WFORadio.com.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
We are back. We are now back. It is Super Bowl week on WFO Radio. And just for, well, that was thrilling. Giovanni, how you doing there, bud? Got excited. Now, I decided, since it is Super Bowl week and this is a party, I was going to break out the Air Titan.
You got your own Air Titan.
Yeah, well, I said to Gio, I was like, we got any Super Bowl sound effects we could play? He's like, I don't know. And so I saw the Air Titan, and I just brought back some funny memories. So there you go. The NASCAR season's coming, folks. Here comes the rain. There you have it. So Jeff Gordon, here's where the rubber meets the road. Okay, last week I was surprised to find out that Jeff Gordon would be announcing that 2015 would be his final season. My first response was sadness for a couple of reasons. You have to understand that I was initially a Jeff Gordon hater. And the career that Jeff Gordon has had is really spanning my life, much the way a little prior to and a little longer than that of Derek Jeter. I'm about to be 42 years old. 42 years old, I will turn 42 on this Friday. And Gio will follow into the 43rd year on Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. Sunday is your birthday. How crazy.
Sunday.
Giovanni, 42 years old, 1 foot in the grave. Check it out. Sunday. We're crossing over into a new plateau. We're still in our early 40s, though, which is great. Mid-40s? Late 40s? 50s? I'll be happy to still be here, man.
Look what I found.
What?
See if you recognize this.
Pop yeah, I'm ready. Enough. Okay. At least you found some of those old sound effects. Finally, we could put that together with that other thing that I was telling you about before. But now
with
back
the guy
to Jeff.
From the past.
Jeff Gordon career, Derek Jeter career mirrors my life. There are a lot of people out there. I know many of you are younger than me and many of you are older than me. And it's, I'm sorry that I'm self-focused, but I am me. And so I only really have my own focus to kind of live with and understand.
You are the sun of your universe.
I am. It's just the way it is. And so as a young person coming up watching NASCAR, my first super favorite was, who do you think?
Earnhardt.
No.
I know this.
Wrong.
Oh, as a youngster.
As a youngster.
The Silver Fox.
No. Come on.
DW.
No.
I don't know.
The King.
Oh.
Richard Petty, the King.
Sorry.
Blue, STP, 200 wins.
No, that makes sense.
Pontiac.
Like the cars.
Pontiac.
Like the cars.
Pontiac. The King, Richard Petty. Me, Papa Joe, love the King. Love Richard Petty. To this day, still love Richard Petty. Come on, the guy's the King. They call him the King. He's one of those transcendent figures that is just greater and bigger than anything around him, the King. You could go to the darkest of Africa and go into the jungle somewhere with a picture of Richard Petty in the sunglasses and the cowboy hat and say, you know this guy? And there is a good chance they will know who the dude is, the King. Classy guy, the whole thing, Richard Petty. You know, as time goes on, people forget. And they overanalyze. They think, well, you know, the King, they were the first to really go get cars and really, you know, cheat them up and really, and plus there wasn't a lot of great competition. There was like, eight, you know, five guys out there that were really trying to do it back then.
It doesn't matter.
He's none of that matters.
200 wins. He lasted
King.
Lifetimes. He's the GOAT of NASCAR.
Yes. He's the King. That's it. But King retires. So I'm watching, you know, the Earnhardt kid, man. The Wrangler car was yellow. I don't know. Number three.
It's Earnhardt kid. Earnhardt wasn't no kid when
well,
the king retired.
Well, but when I'm a kid, I don't mean kid. He was a guy to me. Okay, he was like this right. Southerner. You know, my parents are from Jersey. The idea. Think about that, folks. Take a second. All you folks from the South, think about it. Folks from the North, think about it. How much the world has changed. But in the 80s, when there was no internet or cell phone technology, the idea of the region of the South being separate from the region of the North was a big deal. Whereas now it is not. Whereas now is not. Now, which NASCAR driver kind of really erased that? Jeff Gordon. Which we will eventually get to. But Earnhardt, man, he developed this persona, and he was a super badass, and he was an awesome driver, and he was the General Motors guy. And you know who he was the teammate to? Especially when GM Performance Parts became his sponsor, GM Goodrich. He was the teammate to, technically, through sponsorship, Warren Johnson. Since I am an
GMAC.
Since I am an NHRA drag racer, technically first, prior to my NASCAR experience, and I always used to root for Warren Johnson. Warren Johnson, Hurst Oldsmobile, Warren Johnson, WJ. WJ won me over by beating Joe Lapone driving Bill Grumpy Jenkins' Camaro at Moroso Motorsports Park in a match race, like 3 out of 3. Joe Lapone, whole shot on WJ. WJ drove around in this giant, old Firenza back then. And it was like, man, this guy's just awesome. Love WJ. The professor. I remember walking up to the back of WJ's trailer and, seeing Mrs. WJ. I'm like, hi, you know, I'm a little kid. Hi. And Earnhardt and Warren Johnson, both General Motors. So now I'm an Earnhardt fan. And NASCAR back then, numbers, popularity, maybe equivalent, but not bigger than NHRA drag race. Same level. And that continued on for a while. Now I'm an Earnhardt fan, diehard Earnhardt fan. Got a number 3 on my drag race card. Love Earnhardt. Even as a Florida-born Northeasterner, Earnhardt stands for what I stand for. Hard-nosed, tough, you know, just like me, tough.
Super tough.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing.
What I want to be. Earnhardt was the image that I would like to view myself as. Hard-nosed racer. And by the way, you can ask Mr. Matt Kenseth whether or not the spirit of Earnhardt is alive through my driving. I think he will tell you it is.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Who's this Gordon kid coming around with the rainbow on his car?
The little mustache.
With a mullet and a mustache, and this kid is going to come around, he's going to battle Earnhardt. No way! Earnhardt's going to take him down. Right? And he goes out there, and he wins the Brickyard, and now he's coming on, and he's kicking Earnhardt's butt. Not really kicking his butt, but he's winning all the races. What is this? And so I hated Gordon. Like so many people did. No, and Slash, my great friend Slash, of course, he's new on the scene. Non-NASCAR fan, not from the South. Who does he like? Oh, NASCAR. There's a guy that I can like because he's from California and he's not a Southerner. And I relate to him. I'm going to like Jeff Gordon. He's a young person and he's new in the sport. Jeff Gordon arrives on the scene and goes through a few years of domination, the likes of which we still haven't seen duplicated, even by Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, and Gordon changes the sport as we know it till right now.
Forever.
Elevates it to this new level, and for a while, it burned me. Like, this is terrible, and I used to root against Jeff Gordon. I used to not want him to tie or pass Dale Earnhardt for career records and all of those things. And then when Dale Earnhardt got his Daytona 500, I felt like, okay, this changes a lot of things. And then when Dale Earnhardt passed, it really changed things. And, of course, you get older and you learn and you realize that wasting hatred and anger and rooting against negativity on people who are truly great, like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning, is a waste. Respect the talent. Respect it. Like with Jimmy Johnson, respect it. Because one day it's going to be gone. And people are going to be talking about it, and you will have witnessed it, and whether you liked it or didn't, you were part of it. And that's Jeff Gordon's career. We experienced Jeff Gordon's career with him.
From start to finish.
From start to finish. And now it is about to end. He is about to enter his final season. And we are all there. And wow. Now I'm disappointed he's not going to get to make it to 100 wins. I mean, that would be, I mean, it could happen.
He's probably not going to get to 100.
It is unlikely.
But he very much could. He could win 8 races this year, dude. He won 4 last year, and there was a couple there that we thought he could have won, that should have won maybe.
I would be all for it. I would love to see Jeff get to 100. I would love to see Jeff win number 5. I would love that for a myriad of reasons. Jimmy Johnson clearly has emerged as the great of the next generation, but Jeff Gordon is the guy that made it happen.
Without Jeff Gordon, there is no Jimmy Johnson.
But without statistics to back it up, people will deny it. Here are the statistics from a great article sent by the great Giovanni from CNBC. You know, they do business stuff. This was written by Eric Chemi, at Eric Chemi. 4-time Sprint Cup champion Jeff Gordon announced on Thursday he would be retiring from NASCAR's top circuit at the end of the 2015 season. He would end his career after 23 full-time seasons, while his rise as a superstar matched the massive growth in popularity for the overall sport itself. The simplest way to look at it is through the lens of on-track prize winnings. I think that's kind of interesting. But he's right, because when the winnings increase, that means the sport is growing. Why is the sport growing? For what reason would the sport grow? Because it's becoming more popular. Well, why? Because of this guy, Jeff Gordon. He's the reason. When Gordon competed in his first race in Atlanta in November 1992, a great race, some say the best of all time, the winner that day took home a relatively measly $93,600.
Start and park mean anything to you?
The entire total payout for that race for all drivers was $641,000. Now, for the person out there who's making $45,000 a year, they're like, oh, hey, that's still double what I make in a year. But hey, this is
big
time.
But you're not an entertainer.
Yeah, this is big time motorsports. You know, go drive 200 miles an hour for 500 miles and they pay you. That pales in comparison to the numbers seen in NASCAR's most recent race in the 2014 season finale 2 months ago at Homestead. In that race, the winning car by itself took home $350,000. The entire field was paid almost $5 million. That's an average growth rate of 10% per year, better than the stock market's performance during that time. Interesting. And they've got some graphs and charts. I'm going to put this up on the Facebook page right now. This is a great thing to go up. Please stand by on the WFO Radio Facebook page. This is why, folks, you have to follow the WFO Radio Facebook page, which so weirdly has roared to life over the past couple of weeks. And we're now up to 2,045 likes. The story is called NASCAR's $146 Million Man, Gordon.
No, it's actually called Jeff Gordon as a NASCAR metaphor.
Oh.
I don't know what you're putting up there.
Well, that's what came up on the Facebook thing.
All right.
So it shows the total prize winnings in one NASCAR race, 1992, $641,000, and the Homestead, $4.8 million. The growth in the industry's revenues can be seen another way, by focusing on Gordon's individual performance in that range. His career on-track earnings have totaled over $146 million in the past 23 years, which doesn't even include his off-track endorsement deals.
Hey, I just want you to stop for a second, because you said it kind of quickly and it just kind of glossed by. But last race, 1992, Jeff Gordon's first race.
Yes.
Total prize was $641,000.
Right.
And change. 2014 at Homestead, the very last NASCAR race that was run, $4.8 million.
Yes.
That's 8 times as much, folks.
I'm flabbergasted. I'm blown away. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. In fact, I want to get into this more. You're looking at the stopwatch here. Should we take a quickie and come back, or just keep going?
No, go and we'll stop after, and we'll end the portal segment.
Thank you very much. The growth in the industry's revenue can be seen another way by focusing on Gordon's career individual performance, $146 million over the past 23 years, which doesn't include endorsements.
No, that's earnings from winning races.
Winning races. Just, this race, yes, if you finish in this position, you get this much. Add it all up at the end, $146 million. His on-track prize winnings have topped $7 million in 12 different seasons, and it shows a chart. In the early years, the money just wasn't there as it is now. In 1995, the championship brought him just over $4 million for the season. Now it would be impossible for him to make such a small amount. He hasn't made under $6 million in 1 year since the year 2000. As the sport has grown, Gordon's $146 million number, while probably unimaginable in 1992, has become anything but unique.
Everybody should send him a commission is what the writer's trying to say.
Yeah, that he created the environment that everyone else is enjoying right now. And the only reason a Jimmy Johnson, a Kyle Larson, a Kyle Busch, a Kevin Harvick is able to buy a jet plane is because of Jeff Gordon. As the sport has grown, Gordon's $146 million number, while probably unimaginable in 1992, has become anything but unique. Plenty of drivers with less experience, worse race results, and smaller popularity have been approaching and surpassing $100 million in career earnings simply because they started racing at a time when the sport has seen all-time peaks in popularity and paychecks.
Golden era, baby.
With $100 million now breached by a few drivers, the next big figure to watch for is $200 million. Gordon won't make it there. But six-time champion Jimmy Johnson might. In a few years, we'll be writing about Johnson's retirement, too. Jimmy Johnson on his way to $200 million. There is a chart. In a much shorter career, Johnson has already caught Gordon in career earnings. Think about that.
Yep. Basically, Johnson's got 144 career to Gordon's 146.
Now, some people might take that as Jimmy Johnson being a better driver. And that's not what it is at all.
No, not at all, because I actually was looking at another list of the top career earnings in NASCAR, and I think it was a top 25, maybe top 30 list, and Joey Logano is on that list.
Yeah.
Top 30 already in career earnings in NASCAR, and the guy's been around just a handful of years. Hamlin, Logano, guys like that were on that list.
The newest guys.
The guy, like 28th, 29th, and 30th was like Richard Petty, the Silver Fox. The greatest of the era back then, there just wasn't any money for those guys. It wasn't around. And as great as they were, Richard Petty only made like $9 million in earnings in his whole career. There, almost when, every single guy in the field today has more than that.
It really opens your eyes to a whole bunch of things. I'm not going to go too crazy with it, but there definitely should be a fund for like old people who used to race, who help support the sport through those times and get it to where it is so that they don't have to eat cat food.
But the reality is that Jeff Gordon brought Fortune 500 companies
Period.
To NASCAR.
End of story.
And they weren't there before.
Nope.
That's a fact. That's
General Motors was selling cars through Dale Earnhardt, and Earnhardt,
but
it couldn't have been a Jeff Gordon without a Dale Earnhardt
and
the marketing, and stuff.
I'm talking about regular companies.
Dude, Mr. H was a big part of it. Savvy guy, car salesman, knew about this kind of stuff. There was a formula, a calculus, something that happened. But the face man was Jeff Gordon, and we're about to experience his final season. It is very, very much a big deal. Now, I'm not looking forward to, let me tell you, let me put it out there. Nobody better get this man a rocking chair. If I see one of these tracks get Jeff Gordon a rocking chair like they did for Mark Martin and all that silliness, I'm going to be very disappointed. This man deserves far greater than that. They need to name towers after him, corners after him, things. They need to build, dare I say, they build a giant 500-foot-tall Jeff Gordon Colossus standing over the Super Stretch at Daytona International Speedway. I think they should. This man, like him or don't, maybe you haven't evolved, maybe you just are stuck with your hatred, you just cannot evolve past that, oh, no, I hate somebody, I just never change my mind, that's it. Never. I don't understand that. I just don't get it. Now, Gordon said in the press conference, which is available on our website, which you can go back and listen to, he said flat out, he's going to be around in 2016. He says he basically says he doesn't want a Derek Jeter type thing going on, that he's going to come back in 2016 for all that. He wants to race, that he wants to people stay out of his face. That's my quote, not his. So he can race because he wants the best possible chance to win the championship.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then don't say anything that you're retiring.
But he wants to make a final tour. He wants the fans to know. He's selling tickets, by the way. How about this guy?
Yeah.
Hey, folks. You know, Homestead Miami Speedway is not a sponsor at this moment, but guess who gets to go see Jeff Gordon's final race? Joe and Gio. That's right. We do. Think about that, Giovanni. Sitting there as we're standing on pit road watching those cars go across the start-finish line to determine the champion, determine the winner of the Ford 400 Ford Championship weekend, we're going to be watching the final lap of Jeff Gordon's storied career.
Wow.
How could you miss out on that?
No.
Now, if you're thinking about buying tickets to that race, you know, let me work out a sponsorship deal with Homestead first so I can give you the code, right? The promo code, WFO.
Yep.
Don't do it yet. Hold off. All right. Anyway, we love Jeff Gordon. That's the story. All right. We're going to come back with Tommy Noodles. Tommy is going to threaten us all, including Jeff Gordon fans. He said flat out, he's like, you know what? I might have to go with Gordon. I've never experienced what it's like to root for Jeff Gordon, and this is my final opportunity. He also said that about Dale Jr., that he might root for Dale Jr. next year. And so we're going to hear from Tommy Noodles, and then we're going to come back the next segment. And I am going to announce a contest between two of our great WFO radio listeners, Rich and Saugus and Los Jingones. Yes. And the prize is the first, and this will be absolutely free, black WFO radio t-shirt, which I am announcing right now. They're coming.
Wow. Way to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. I do everything with like what I perceive to be dramatic flair. It might not actually be, but I perceive it to be. And so what's going to happen is Rich and Saugus and Los Jincones are going to each have an opportunity to win the first black WFO radio t-shirt. After the Tommy Noodle segment, I will tell you how. During the Tommy Noodle segment, I will figure out how. But first, I'm going to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Hey, listeners. You hear me talking about Frank Hawley all the time. I know somewhere in the back of your mind, this is not the kind of thing you do every day. You might order some coffee every couple months because you need coffee every day. This is more of a couple times in your life experience. But what I would really be doing, if you believe me, if you trust me, if you think about like, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, I would have an envelope. And I would be putting $20 in the envelope, $5 in the envelope, $2 in the envelope, some coins in the envelope every now and then whenever I could. And eventually, it's going to total $399. Eventually. And when it does, the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is a life experience that you will remember forever in a very positive way. Not in a terrible way, like the time you got trapped on the roller coaster at Busch Gardens or something, and you were stuck up there for an hour. I shouldn't have said Busch Gardens. At random, unknown theme park. Amorphous idea. Frank Hawley is a drag racing legend, and he has instructed hundreds of other drag racing legends. The guy is a very, very sharp thinker and has put together this program because he knows why we all love drag racing. The problem with drag racing is, and NHRA has just created this new marketing program called Baptism by Nitro because of this problem. It's not the NFL. It's not, I can't just give you a ball and tell you to run and then tackle you and say, hey, welcome to NFL. It takes investment. It takes time. We got to go to the track. We got to get to the track. We got to get a car. We got to put you in a car. You got to get licensed in the car. Is the track open? Is it dry weather? What's going on? It's hard. It's really hard to get the experience, to feel the experience, to understand it. It's hard. Well, Frank Hawley has made it easy. You just show up. I'm here. And you can get into a dragster that accelerates from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. Trust me, Jack, you have never been that fast. Reaching speeds of 130 miles an hour in a quarter mile, there is no ride that exists that can give you that feeling. And most importantly, it's not a ride along. Like, hey, you driving and I'm riding? No. You are not in some crazy sidecar. You are driving the dragster. and they even offer programs that you can race against each other. Courses start at $399, and that's the envelope. Now, maybe some people can just do that. That's disposable funds. Or maybe other people have to save up the money. Regardless, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, for WFO radio listeners, will break it up into four easy payments if you give them a call. 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. I know the weekly listeners, you people that listen every week, you've heard this commercial now a whole bunch. And you know that I'm into it. I have my own super comp license. I have done it. The first time I stomped the gas, I just started laughing. Because, you know, I can't explain it. You got to just do it. That's just how it is. And Frank knows that. He created the program. Go to the website, frankhawley.com, Dragster Adventure. Look at the schedule. They come around the country. They're going to Phoenix. They're going to California. They're going to Norwalk. They're going to Reading. They're going all around the country. You can plan ahead and make it happen in 2015. You will remember it forever. You will enjoy it. It will be fun. And you get to make multiple runs. There's the pitch. FrankHawley.com. We'll be back with Tommy Noodles. He's gonna threaten the curse. And if you've never heard Tommy Noodles, there's a good chance you're a first-time listener. You just heard the NHRA press conference or the Jeff Gordon press conference or something, and you said, I'm going to give these guys a try. And so far, you're hanging in there. You're hanging tough. Tommy comes on every once in a while, and if you love him, I take full credit for him coming on, and if you hate him like poison, it only happens every once in a while. Tommy is one of those, he's a very...
Once or twice a year. Right?
He's a preferred taste, though. People love Tommy.
It's an acquired taste.
He is, just like all of it. All of it. This is not the kind of show, the first time you hear it, you just love it. It's just not. It's the kind of thing that grows on you.
Like a fungus.
We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro Classics. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition, and I'm real happy that, looking at the numbers, man, this show is growing, baby. Everybody is, like, telling each other and talking to each other and saying, hey, bud, there's a cool show on an app that's free. You can listen. Check it out. Sometimes they talk about us. Really. And sure enough. And the best part about these off-season shows is that we really don't talk about anything. It's just kind of just whatever. But once the racing season starts, that's when it gets real super interesting, because we're talking about NASCAR and Formula One, all kinds of racing stuff. And we have some insiders and inside things that have been happening for a long time. Like, for instance, we've got our WFO Fantasy League, which I'm going to be talking about. Everybody wants in. They want a shot at the new trophy. I know they want to get their name on the Super Trophy. We will give the information. But remember, it's only for WFO listeners, so the only place we're going to give the information is on the WFO show. Otherwise, you can't get in the league. That's the way it works. But another thing is the Tailgate Party Pick Show and our great friend, super comedian Tommy Noodles, who joins us now. Tommy, welcome back.
WFO!
When was the last time you were on this show?
It's been a while, my friend.
Why are you dodging us?
Because this is the greatest show in the history of shows, and I'm embarrassed that I'm not good enough to be a part of it.
I don't know if that's the truth, but it sure sounds like a good answer. Bottom line, though, Tom and I used to work together on the satellite radio show, and it was great. Those were the great years, the salad years, as they say. And it was fantastic and all, and we had a great time. And now Tom, he appears on WFO Radio from time to time. And the reason I'm saying this to all the diehard super listeners is that we have people every week who are new, who are figuring out the show and the characters and what they do and what they mean. And every year at this time, Tommy Noodles does something. What is that, Tom?
I pick a driver of the year who I'm going to be a fan of. And, it makes it more interesting for me as a fan to have a driver that I can root for every single week.
And then if you don't like it and it doesn't work out, you have no phony loyalty that just because you rooted for somebody at one particular time in your life, you feel obligated to root for that person for the rest of your life. This is not a decision you just get to make once, like getting married for most people, or twice or three times. You can make this every year. And so it has turned out that you have been making this decision every year for many years now. Any idea how many?
It's probably been since the beginning, because the thing that we learned...
2005? 2004?
What started this whole thing was the fact that you become a fan of a driver, and it's for life, it seems. Like, you know, if you're a junior fan, and you get the tattoos, and you get the, you know, limited edition Monte Carlo, you're driving around town, you're locked into this.
This
is a life decision for you. Where I decided, you know what, I was, you know, getting tired of my driver, and I wanted to make a change, which was unheard of, unless they retire or die.
Disloyalty, right. The only way you can give up your driver is if they retire or die. That's it. Those were the old school NASCAR rules, until we came up with the break up with your driver day.
Yes.
Where all fans are encouraged to break up with the driver if they are dissatisfied. And you took that to heart.
Absolutely. And it's just like a relationship. It's just, you know, like I wanted to experience other drivers out there who, you know, for different reasons weren't, you know, like the top dog. And we put limitations on it. Like I couldn't pick Jimmy Johnson because he's going to win and we all know it. And I don't want to be one of those people who jump on the bandwagon. So I had to pick drivers who were, you know, getting by. And that way I could root for the underdog, because that's, how I see myself in all the careers that I've had. So this gave me the opportunity to root for the underdog and, make them a driver to me, which I know that the listeners, the new listeners, are sitting there going, who are you and why do I care? If you pick a driver.
No, they care. They're listening to the show. They know that I care, and so they care about you. And at least in my imagination.
Why? At least in your imagination.
Yes.
But there's more to the story than just some fat guy sitting in his living room picking a driver.
No, there's a downside. You know? there is a dark side to this story.
I'm not just a regular NASCAR fan who has picked a driver. In the past, there is been known as the Tommy Noodles Curse.
Some sort of cosmic force.
That when I pick you, your career kind of doesn't go as well as you think. And, you know, you sit there and you go, oh, yeah, we all have some sort of curse. But we have actually tracked it to the point where a driver has, like when we first started.
Cite some examples. Cite some examples for the new listeners, Tommy, that may be used as data to prove the Tommy Noodles curse theory.
Well, from the very beginning, my first NASCAR driver pick was Davey Allison.
Okay,
could
next.
Be a coincidence.
Continue.
that I moved on. As you know, the question that came up the other day is, does anybody remember Casey Atwood?
He was one of yours?
He was the next Jeff Gordon.
Wow. I didn't even know about that one. Okay, continue.
then there was Kyle Busch, who was a young kid, great talent, and we all know him to be, probably in my view, as one of the greatest drivers we've seen. Maybe the history doesn't show it, but watching this kid drive, phenomenal.
And you jumped on.
Won 8 races that year and didn't make the chase. Now, all these things could be coincidental.
Yeah, they could.
But let's keep going. you have Clint Bowyer. The year that I picked him came in 2nd in the points, which you think is phenomenal, right?
Sure, that sounds great.
Could he have gone one?
Without 300 pounds of Tommy Noodles riding on the roof, could he have gone one more position? One will never know.
Joey Logano came to the sport as the white bread, the chosen son. He had a couple of bad years. I'm not going to say it had anything to do with me, but I did jump on the bandwagon.
But when you jumped off, what happened?
Oh, the kid took off like 280 pounds, got off his engine, and he was able to ride in the wind, and he's going to be successful again.
But this is all old news. We can come up with like lots of old stories, old news about drivers who were doing great, and when you jumped on, they did bad, and when you jumped off, they did well. Let's talk more recent.
It's getting worse, though.
Let's go last year.
Well, let's go a few years ago with A.J. Allmendinger.
You picked A.J. Allmendinger, that's right.
Potential to be a great race car driver. The year I picked him, banned from the sport.
It did get a little sideways with A.J. for a while. He was banned. Wow, that was the year that you picked him, huh?
That was the year that I picked him. And it's all duly noted. It's not like we're making this up for a bit. Someone has been tracking this the entire time. If you go to the Tommy Noodles Curse Facebook page, you could see it all. It's all been tracked, you know, recorded. There's all of our shows for the last couple of years. It's not made up. It really happened.
No, I know. I need to. But hey, listen, getting suspended for drugs, there are worse things than that. I mean, you know, that's bad, but it's not like domestic violence or anything.
It's funny that you say that, because last year, Kurt Busch decided he was going to overcome all the negativity, he was going to get himself a good ride, and he was going to be a superstar. He won one race.
Yeah, it was like the curse was broken. The Tommy Noodles curse is broken. Kurt Busch has won races, he's performing, Tommy Noodles is his fan, he's an underdog, he's the outlaw. What could go wrong?
Well, now it seems as if he might miss a few races this year because of you know, police record or, you know, a criminal record.
Well, we don't even know, but certainly a negative story and something that Kurt would probably wish didn't happen.
And he's probably wondering how this happened. Like, here he is, you know, he breaks up with some girl, and next thing you know, she's making claims that she can't prove. Coincidental? I don't know. I'm not saying that I have anything to do with the criminal activities of NASCAR drivers. I'm just saying that maybe if you put 280 pounds on a driver's back, it makes it very, very difficult for them to succeed.
It's a cosmic force. It's like a dark science. It's this something that you just can't understand. And so you are going to be jumping off Kurt Busch and on to a new driver, and we get to test the theory again in two ways. If Kurt has a breakout season and is great and everything goes hunky-dory, that's one aspect of it, and then we have to see who the new driver is, which you will pick live on this show next week. How about that?
And that's what it is. It does come down to, you know, you and I made a deal years ago when we thought we were going to be together forever.
That well, we're not.
When I do,
of course we are. What are you talking about?
When I do
about?
Make the announcement, it has to be on this program.
Yes.
So
lifetime contract.
All other programs that I might be associated with have to wait till I do it on your program first.
Exactly. We get the big announcement of the Tommy Noodles curse.
Just a free plug for Wheels in a Winner.
Tommy does a show called Wheels in a Winner, and it is very funny and comedic, and he brings his own version of motorsports talk to the online world on a weekly basis.
But since in the last couple of years I could pick any car, any driver that I wanted, there were some simple rules that go along with it, is the fact that I can't pick the champion, I can't pick someone who's doing well. But this year there's been more of a change to the rules that it can only be a Chevrolet.
Because
I am a Chevy guy through and through. I so much now, because Joe gave me years and years of harassment, that I actually had to learn the product so much that I became a sales guy.
Programming. I'm glad you remember that, Tommy. That's true. Folks at General Motors.
No one will ever forget it. When Brian Williams called me and told me to that I needed to buy a Chevy, that should have been a breaking point for me.
It really should have. You should have listened to me and Brian Williams. From NBC, nightly news anchor.
So
listen, what's on everybody's mind now is everyone who understands, and the longtime listeners and the people who have been listening for 10 plus years, because it's been going for that long, right now, if they know the way they should be reacting, you should be afraid. That's what you should be thinking right now. Everybody who is a fan of a Chevrolet driver, the right feeling at this moment is fear. Is Tommy going to pick my driver? Oh no, Tommy, you're not going to pick Dale Jr., are you?
Does he drive a Chevy?
He does.
Oh, then maybe.
Guess
but
I'm
anybody
have to
who's
listen
a,
next week.
Anyone who is a fan of a Ford probably wishes that I would pick their driver so they'd have an excuse why they're driving a Ford. But so if it's a Ford or a Toyota, I'm not going to pick it, because you have your own dilemmas of car manufacturers to choose. You don't need me adding to it.
And is your you mentioned you're a Chevy guy. Can we take it a step further and explain how deeply you're a Chevy guy? Like, talk about your new profession, that you're hawking Chevrolets. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I'm a Chevy sales guy because I love the product. Not because I was looking for work in selling oranges on the side of the road.
You gave that up, actually, to which is surprising.
So there are 23 different Chevrolet teams. So if you are a Chevy, a fan of someone who drives a Chevy right now, and you don't believe in the curse, here's your opportunity
to find out.
Just worry for a moment.
Well, you're not going to pick like a Jeff Gordon, right? Final season. He's doing his final year, his final tour. Jeff Gordon, you wouldn't do that to Jeff, would you?
Well, here's the way that the rules work. The rules work is that I can't pick Jeff Gordon because he is a proven success story. But if something within that success changes, then I'm allowed to pick the driver. With this being his last season, I can pick him just to see how the curse works in that last season. Because if it turns out that he's banned from the sport, it doesn't matter because he's retiring, right?
Yeah. And, you know, like, it does seem like you're making him up as the rules go, as it goes along. But I tend to agree with everything you're saying, so keep going. It's Jeff's final year. If Tommy wants to pick Jeff, Tommy should be able to pick Jeff. Absolutely.
And he is definitely on the list. He is a Chevy guy, and he's within the drivers that I've looked at, because it would be, it's a great story. Like, we waited, we watched this kid our whole life come up, become a superstar. Next thing you know, he's so great that we're booing him. And then all of a sudden, he has a couple of years where he's not dominating, and now we think he's a superhero again. I'm going to miss the kid. He's only 30 days younger than I am, and he's retiring.
I know. It is troubling to me as well.
This is going to be a hard one for me as a fan, because I've been watching since 88. So this is the first, like, retirement to me that means something. Even when Dale Jarrett, who was my driver for years, retired, it was kind of like his time to get out. Jeff Gordon still has the ability that this could be the year that he wins another championship.
Yeah, easily. Could easily be the year. Last year could have been.
So definitely on the list. No doubt about it. Things have changed. He gets to be on the list.
Wow. So for fans of Chevrolet, fans of, what about a Tony Stewart? You can't pick a guy like Tony Stewart. He's too good, right?
Again, I can pick Tony Stewart because last year the news was all over Tony Stewart that, you know, he, I think, should retire, should get out of the sport.
That might have been some crossover from you liking Kurt Busch.
It could be a whole team effort.
A little overspray.
So I think that I can pick him only because his season can only get better. Oh. So, Tony Stewart is on the list.
All right.
So out of the 23, I did narrow it down to 10 to try to make it a little bit easier for everyone. So, if I do not pick your driver, if I do not yell out a number right now, you can relax.
Well, yeah, so don't yell out a number.
The 10 are.
Okay. Oh, you're narrowing it to 10 right here tonight on the show?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. This is I'm shocked by this and also excited. So next week you will pick the one, but right now the great comedian Tommy Noodles, who also sells Chevrolets and is followed around by a dark evil cloud, is about to pick the 10 drivers who may or may not have to deal with the Tommy Noodles curse. Go.
Just saying their names might affect them. But, so, let's start with the number one spot, which is the number one. Jamie McMurray.
Great run at the
there
Rolex.
He is.
One of three drivers to win the Daytona 500 and the Rolex. The other two are A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti. Jamie McMurray with those guys. Pretty spectacular.
Then let's move on, because I'm just going in numeric order, not any particular order in which I picked them. We'll go on to the three.
Austin Dillon.
Who doesn't want to be a fan of the number three? Like, that's ridiculous not to be at some point in your life. Had a terrible season. A rookie season. Not terrible, but not what we expected from the number three. So now would be a great time for me to jump on the bandwagon. I do like Cheerios. No doubt about it. The Honey Nuts, my favorite.
Eight more to go.
Then let's go to the four. He won the championship. It's a whole new world for him, new team, new everything. They're finally settling in. And the only way that I can pick him is because they are within the first 2 years of a team being together. And it's not my fault that he won the championship during his first year with them. So since he's still a rookie with the team, technically, Kevin Harvick could be the guy.
Wow.
The 14, as we mentioned in the past, Tony Stewart, lots of news around him, making it difficult for him to concentrate. He's not the champion that we knew, but maybe with me on board, the two of us, we kind of look alike. We're about the same weight. So maybe it's time that I become a Tony Stewart fan.
I've said this in the past. It has never worked out. But maybe two negatives can become a positive.
You know, that's what it's overcoming the curse. Next on the list, the 24. We've talked about this. Why can't I don't want him to retire without me being a fan? It's not fair to me.
That makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. The 40.
Let's jump on and say not really sure. Again, you're like you said before with the Rolex 24. This kid, Larson, is doing more than we ever imagined a young kid could do. If you know, he's already married for some reason. That might be his downfall.
Big mistake. What was up with that? I heard that. I was like, Kyle, what are you doing? Bad parenting out there. Bad parents telling this kid to get married.
Yeah, that might be a curse within itself. Maybe he doesn't need me. But the kid is so talented. Again, I want to be a fan of his. The 41. So far I have not doubled up on going back to the same driver. This kid has got enough trouble by himself, Kurt Busch. Do you think that maybe if I went back, it could help him? I don't know.
By the way, you said Kyle Larson was the 40, actually the 42.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So so I've already done the 42. Who's in the 40?
I don't think anybody.
Oh, it's on the list. Okay. So then the 78. Let's be honest with you. I'm not going to pick the 78.
Yeah, he's too much of an underdog. There's no fun in jinxing Martin Truex Jr. Where's the fun in that?
You know, they already have enough problems. Let me just leave them alone. And then there's the 88. Why am I not allowed to be a junior fan?
Because.
And Joe will tell this story. A couple of years ago, I finally picked him as my driver for the weekend at Talladega. Final lap. There he is. You know, three people fighting for the lead. Brian Vickers, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Boom! Brian Vickers takes them both out and goes on for the win.
Unbelievable.
I had to take days off of work because of the threats that came into the building.
Yeah.
That's how bad this curse is.
It was bad. But think about the poor Brian Vickers fans that were hanging out at Talladega that day, that were watching their driver run third, knock Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. out of the way at the Dega, take the win. Imagine those people walking out to the parking lot in their Brian Vickers shirts. Not cool, man. Not cool. On the flip
not
side.
Not cool at all.
On the flip
but
side.
We were in D.C. and I got death threats.
Absolutely.
Because people know what the curse means.
On the flip side, though, on a personal level, I had Vickers at 30-1 and made a pretty penny. So the curse worked out for me.
It did, because I didn't have to go to work for a couple of days and you made money. So it was a success all the way around for you.
Cha-ching.
So those are my drivers so far. So if I didn't pick your number, woohoo! You know,
that's only eight. That's only eight, Tommy. Just so you know, the 1, the 3, the 4, the 14, the 24, the 42, the 41, and the 88. Because you said you weren't picking the 78, and the 40 is non-existent. So you have got eight numbers. We're going to allow you to add a couple more numbers next week if you so choose before you make your pick, the historic pick of the Tommy Noodles Curse driver for 2015.
No, I have 10. I have 1,
yeah.
3, 4,
yeah.
14, 24,
yeah.
40, 41, 42, 78, and 88.
But you said you're not going to pick the 78, so what's the point of
well,
putting
no,
him on the list?
Well, he's on the list, as I was looking at it, I thought to myself, I can't do that to him. But yes, he's on the list. I'm just letting people off the hook. So let's call it 9 and we'll be. So those are my drivers. We'll see what happens. And, we'll have another great year. And if nothing happens, that's what I'm hoping for. But I want to enjoy this. And I'll be honest with you, I really enjoyed being a fan of Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could see that. He was fine. He did okay. I'm even slightly on his side in this weird thing. You know, the guy's obviously got some sort of something going on that's a little bit extra. You know, he's special. And you wish he could turn it off, but he can't. He can't turn it off, folks. He just can't. And so what do you do with the guy? What do you do with him?
Why would he want to?
Yeah, you lock him up, you kick him out of the sport and say you can't race here anymore. You just deal with it. You know, there's that saying, Tony being Tony, where Tony Stewart is Tony Stewart, and he does his things even when you know and he knows and everybody knows is probably not the best way to react. But people like it because it's genuine. But nobody says, that's Kurt being Kurt, because it's a little too much. Maybe we need to, or maybe not. All right, Tommy Noodles.
Maybe not. That's what this sport needs. This sport needs entertainment. Not saying that beating a woman is entertainment. I'm saying that it's a storyline that we get to follow.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers on WFO Radio do not necessarily reflect the views of the ownership or management or sponsors or anybody.
Or guest.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree, and I think everybody understands what you're saying.
You know, I love the sport. I'm glad that we're within a two-week window, three-week window, whatever we are. I can't do math. I can't wait for it to come back. I'm starting to twitch every Sunday.
Are you going to try this year in the Fantasy League? Are you going to, try?
I don't even have a chance. You know I don't have a chance.
Because you know we have a super trophy. Do you know about the trophy? Have you been up on the super trophy?
No, because last year I had to retire. And I'm no Mark Martin. I'm not coming back.
Really? That's it? No Tommy Noodles in the Fantasy League? That's it? You're done?
The Dirty Mo just took the fun out of all of it. He's going to win every year, and then we're just going to sit back.
He didn't win last year. Youper won one last year. He took down the Dirty Hippies. The Dirty Hippies went down. Look, I'm not going to force you into the league because there are literally thousands of WFO listeners that are trying to get in on this league, and we only have 100 spots. It's highly in demand. But for Tommy Noodles to be in the league, you know that you are you're grandfathered in. Like you said, you get a spot. You've been in every year that there has been a league. If you want to pull the plug on your participation in the WFO Fantasy League and give up an opportunity for the Tommy Noodles name to be on the Super Trophy, which is a tangible thing now, that's your choice. We'll let you know.
Well, only because every single week I get the graphs and the charts and I sweat and I throw markers around the room and I yell and I scream and then I talk to you and you're like, you're not even trying. Are you even playing? And it's just so hurtful and demeaning.
Well, you know, maybe you need to try something different. Maybe you need to mix it up. Maybe you need to not break out the graphs and the charts. Maybe you need to do something else.
But I did that, and 1 week I actually won, and you thought that I cheated.
I thought that you had Rich. Listen, everybody knows Rich was setting your team for the first couple races of last year, and then we smoked you guys out.
And you know it.
We knew it. We knew it. It was
you
immediate.
You don't know nothing.
We knew it. Everybody
knew
it.
You make up things because this is your show.
That's true. Here's what I'm going to do. Listen, here's what I'm going to do. Okay? You know me. Last year, I forced you to be in the league. I'm not going to force you again. Last year, I forced you to do the picks. I will force you to do the picks again. Okay? And it's great. I appreciate the graciousness that you allow me to force you, because I know we can't force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. But I'm going to text you a picture of the trophy. And I'm going to show you a photograph of the trophy with the team names on it. And you tell me that's not worth the 10 minutes of work on a weekly basis at some point in the next 10, 15, 20 years, which is how many slots there are on the trophy, for you to try to win this thing once. And if it were to happen, that it wouldn't be one of your greatest life's accomplishments to have Tommy Noodles.
You know it is.
I know.
You also know I don't have the skills to do it.
You know, every dog has its day. Every squirrel finds a nut. The broken clock is right twice a day. You never know. I'm fortunate that I won the first one when people weren't really going after it. And so my name got to be on the trophy. But I have a feeling I'll never be on there ever again either. These dudes are serious, Tommy. They're getting serious.
Well, that's what it is the fact that when you look at the overall ranking of, you know, the fantasy leagues and someone in the league that you're playing against is actually nationally known.
Yeah, they're above. We had a guy last year or 2 years ago that led the nation. He led the whole thing for 3 weeks. How do you do that? I think it was Black Ice. How do you do that?
Yeah, and then you want me to compete with these people?
Comic relief.
Yeah, I can make fantasy racing funny. I can't make picks.
And yet we will need you to on Fridays following Bob Smith and myself, because we enjoy hearing from Tommy. And we will hear from
Tommy.
Oh, absolutely. We will hear from Tommy next week, and you will pick your driver.
And every week, I give you my heart in knowing who's going to win. And every week, I go last.
Well, you won one race last year.
With Kurt Busch.
There it is. And then it all got a little sideways from that point. But, hey, we don't need to go back to that point. All right, Tommy Noodles, great job. I invited Tommy on. I said, Tommy, 7 to 10 minutes. This is going to be a quick segment. Just reintroduce you to everybody. Make sure they know what the Tommy Noodles curse is and that you're going to affect their lives at some point in the near future, possibly. Possibly in a negative way. And here we are, you know, half hour later, which is great. It has been golden. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, I love doing it. And watch every race and see how my driver this year does, and you'll be amazed.
And if you're in the Massachusetts area and you want to buy a Chevrolet, contact us on WFO, and I'll put you together with Tommy Noodles for, you know, all he's got to do is wet my beak a little bit.
Absolutely, 100%. We are the best Chevrolet.
Excellent. All right, Tommy, thank you.
See you, sir.
Thanks, Tommy. Tommy Noodles. There he goes, everybody. Tommy Noodles, a comedian. He's a funny man. He's a Chevrolet dealer. He is loving dealing the Chevrolets. I used to tell him all the time. I used to say, Tommy, Chevrolets. He was used to be a Kia guy back in the day, Kias. And now he has learned the error of his ways. He learned. And it is great to see he is doing so well up there in the snow. So you heard it. Even Tony Stewart is not safe, Giovanni.
Yeah.
Tony Stewart.
He already cursed Tony last year.
Tony.
He brought
Dale Jr.
the curse a little too close to Tony's.
All of them. Anything could happen.
And he really should stay away from Gordo. We don't want to take the chance. And
well, he should,
Gordo's,
but that's the thing. And
swan song.
He says he's only picking a Chevrolet driver because he has to.
No, I understand that. That makes sense. He's working there.
Because he can't be rooting for a Ford guy. Because the thing is that he genuinely wants these people to do well. He's not trying to curse them. He's trying to experience victory. And something inevitably goes horrifically wrong. So there you go. Thanks for Tommy Noodles for coming on the show. And you'll hear more of Tommy on the Tailgate Party Picks show once the season starts. And he may or may not be in the Fantasy League this year.
Tommy doesn't have time for a lot of stuff anymore.
He's
a busy guy.
He's a busy guy, and he's throwing his hands in the air. He's saying he just can't compete. He just knows he just can't compete.
Well, so Tommy's one of those that's been in there from day one, and he can never get above the top 50.
Right. So
he's out. Maybe it's setting itself up on its own, Joe.
Yeah, but he's an on-show personality.
Too much cranium into this.
Like a formula, like the chase, like the top 16 get in, and they're locked in, and then, you know, a couple others, they can fight their way in. You know, but I'm looking at it like Champions Cup soccer, which nobody knows about, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you perform so poorly for like 2 years in a row, then you're out. You're with everybody else. Someone can take your spot, even if you're the Dirty Hippies.
You're not in the Premier League anymore.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But the Dirty Hippies is a past champion, which you're always in if you're a past champion. So, Gio, technically, should you ever be on the block to be out of that league?
I won't be, because I'm in here working, and I won't pay attention.
What about Rich and Saugus and Los Chincones? What about those two?
Well,
who are going to battle each other?
But those guys are always in the top 50. They're always in there battling. Lowe's goes all out, full effort. He's got Rudy's finger on the line.
Yeah, apparently Rudy confronted him. Rudy, I'll tell you about it next segment. We just heard from Tommy. Tommy went, you know, really long. Tommy, 7 minutes. All right, 30 minutes. And that's how it happens. But hey, listen, this is a Super Bowl party, right? Break out the Super Bowl party music, man. Let's get it going. We got a big party going on. This is it. We're getting ready for the Seahawks and the Patriots, and they're going to inflate the balls to like 20 pounds.
No, they're going to deflate the balls.
They're going to inflate. They're going to use a basketball to make it fair for everybody.
It's going to be a beach ball.
I am super stoked about it. We're going to talk about the Dana commercial where she puts a puppy in the blender, all when we come back right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list,
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFOradio.com.
You know, I never knew, but this is like a lick from a Clash song. Did you know that? That whole beginning thing?
It's just ripped off
from the Clash.
Ice, baby.
Yeah. But hey, don't mess with my friend Bob, okay? Me and Vanilla have been hanging out a lot lately.
That's
down
Rob.
There at the, where you, well, Bob.
Yeah, I know.
He goes by Bob or Rob or Vanilla. Goes by it all.
Get out, la.
What? Say what? All right, folks.
What about Bob?
So, oh yeah, that's good. Did you see the new Ghostbusters movie, what they're going to do?
No.
No?
No.
You know, just the other day I was talking about the Ghostbusters. They're going to make a new Ghostbusters movie. And I said to myself, I got 2 new segments I want to do on the show here. I don't know if we're going to have time to start it this week. One of the segments is movie reviews of movies you should have seen at least a year ago.
Okay.
Because I reviewed a movie 2 weeks ago that was like 3 years old.
Yeah.
But I listened. I don't remember what it was right now, of course. But I listened to the review and I thought it was hysterical because it was an old movie review. And this week I actually have an old movie review. I finally saw American Hustle, which was from last year. And I saw that. You know, the whole science oven.
Oh, okay.
I'm up to speed on the science oven, finally. You know, don't put metal
That's
in the science.
A great movie.
It was great. I loved it. It's an old movie review and a whole segment. So that way I know there's a lot of shut-ins and people that are old movie reviewers that can hear my old movie review and enjoy it. Because not everybody sees the movies on the cutting edge. We're not all Matt Man out there. Matt Man, report. Matt Man. Haven't heard from Mattman in ages. He's still posting on the Facebook page. I assume he's out there. We'll find out. Mattman, report. Mattman.
Houston. Houston.
Houston.
Can you hear me, Houston?
Houston. We have a problem. What is this Houston you speak of? But one of the segments is Joe reviews a movie from at least a year ago. And I guess this week it would be American Hustle, except we're pressed for time, so I'm not going to do it. And the other is Crazy Geo Stories, because this guy is sending me all kinds of crazy stuff all day long. Crazy Geo Stories. Talking about Tony Stewart, of course, the Danica Patrick puppy, 4K TVs, Vettel almost quit. These are all on the table. You're just confusing my senses now, because now, you know, that comes at a certain time of year.
Well, you threw the rain one out there, the rain delay, that airtight in one, got me all confused. I thought it was push the button day.
I was getting you excited for the season. You just got me excited to shop on Black Friday.
All right, sorry.
So anyway, Ghostbusters is going to be an all-female cast. Right. Initially, when you think they're going to redo Ghostbusters, you think there's no way they can do Ghostbusters well, because there's no way you can replace Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson. How about that? No way. You get a cast of four dudes, there's no way. But see, Hollywood, they're geniuses. They know that. They know there's no way to replace Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Ernie Hudson. No way. So what do? They're getting the Saturday Night Live girls.
Wow.
A whole cast of four. In theory, this is what has been floated out there. And am I for it or against it? I don't know. I guess I'm for it, but still generally against it. You can't redo Ghostbusters any better than it was originally. There's no way. Not possible. Not possible.
No, they tried. They made 2 and 3.
So before we get to Geo's crazy stories, because we're gonna talk about a couple of them. No, I have
the ones that I've sent you. I thought I'm just sitting here racking my brain trying to come up with something. You see the smoke coming out of my ears? I wasn't puffing on anything.
You're not. You send me the stories for a reason, right? You want me to look at them?
No, of course I do. It's show material. I send it to you usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, so that we have stuff to talk about.
Here we are. I'm gonna look at them.
I even wrote some of them down. Tony's back.
Yeah. Here it is.
Here's one that I don't know if I sent it to you. You heard about Kyle Busch. He's crying over being confused for Kurt.
Yeah, well,
that's too many
old.
People are saying Kyle. It's using his name when they're referencing Kurt and using him as being the spousal abuser.
Look.
Like, come on, man. Get over it, dude.
Well, not only that,
that's your mom and dad.
Blame your mom and dad for getting cute with your names, Kurt and Kyle.
Absolutely.
You know, they wanted to be that. Kurt and Kyle, Dinny and Danny, Billy and Bobby. That's cute.
Jimmy and Danny.
Whatever. Jimmy and Danny. Nobody gets what I'm talking about, but it's sure funny. Jimmy and Danny. Keith Olbermann, we never got into it. Is picking a fight with everybody and attacked NASCAR fans about the whole Kurt Busch thing, and he misspokenly referred to Kurt as Kyle, and then the NASCAR fans attacked him. No, like, before you tweet, you should know what you're tweeting about. And Keith Olbermann was like, well, your sport stinks. And of course, that's a big mistake. Keith Olbermann making huge mistake after huge mistake as the guy's a genius, clearly, with his presentation. His judgment is horrific. And he's picking fights with NASCAR fans. But he's got a show that will probably never go away because people like it. But really foolish to unnecessarily taunt NASCAR fans. Period. And I guess it's happening to Kyle an awful lot. But we have got to get all the way back now to Los Gincones and Rich and Saugus. The other day I was looking at the Twitter feed. The Twitter feed's going pretty good on WFO Radio. We're about to pass 4,000, which is cool. My personal account's over 2,000. It's doing good. But what really helps the show, like, you're in the final segment of the Ignition show. You must like it. You're not one of these people who just clicks on and it's like, yeah, you know, let me hear the Tony Schumacher interview and then go somewhere else. Boy, that Tony Schumacher is great. Who cares about that guy who was interviewing him? If you listen to the Ignition show to the very end, you like the show. You like what we're doing. You get it. You get us. Hey, great. We like to grow. We want this thing to become something big. If you get to this point of this show, I can share just about anything with you. I can share with you that in 2013, WFO Radio had 42,000 unique IP addresses listen to the show. Click on our stuff. We were very proud of that number. And that in 2014, we had 55,000 unique IP addresses. It was a pretty nice chunk of growth. That's 30%. 30% growth. No ad budget, none of that. Just natural. Natural growth. Grassroots. Friends telling other friends. Listeners telling other listeners, hey, download this app. It's free. These guys, they talk. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's offensive. Like the puppy thing about Danica, that's not really true. It was just a joke. Sometimes it's not. But you get the humor. It's like a sports talk radio entertainment type program that we do and we hope you like. And the real goal after getting blown out from the satellite days many years ago was that we would never have to go through that again. What difference does it make if you do a great show for 2 years when somebody can get a job or get promoted and just say, fire everybody, I'm going to bring in my friends? Like I would probably do. If I got promoted to a position of power like that, I would probably do that. If you're in the broadcasting business, you can't do that anymore. You can't let your life be controlled by others. So instead, we create our own network and we do our own show and we do it the way we want to do it. And it sounds like this. And this is it. And you people get to this point in the Ignition show, like an hour and a half into the program, know the poker guys are hanging at the door. And you listen week after week. You like what's going on. That's great. We appreciate it. We're going to try to grow the number of you listeners out there to a large enough number that we can go to some sponsors and say, hey, we've got a loyal audience that will buy the stuff that advertises on our show.
Like, show me some money.
Exactly. Thus, truly living the American dream, thus truly controlling our own destiny, and building a network of businesses and people and listeners all together. That's what we're trying to do. I figured this out in the days after being blown out from XM for performing excellently, for breaking records, for doing an incredible program that everybody to the man that I encountered to this day just absolutely loved. Yeah, we got to let you know, there's just so many reasons, blah, 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 but we're going to keep other people who are horrible. Just didn't make any sense. So that's what we're working towards. We got some great sponsors. We got Hollies. We got Rodax. You know, little fact, never been turned down for sponsorship. We just want to deliver. We want to deliver. We want to deliver. And so we want to grow. Well, the only way we can really grow, because we're not going to invest large advertising budgets, is Twitter and Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, man. This Twitter thing, these people, they're already on their devices. They're already looking for entertainment. They're reading these tweets. We can get to them. We just need people to tweet and retweet the show. Who's tweeting and retweeting the show, man? Who are the consistent people? Well, you go to Twitter. You look. Who are they? So I was doing that the other day. Who is retweeting our show? You know who's retweeting our show? Bobby Graham. Bobby Graham is retweeting our show. Do you know how many Twitter followers Bobby Graham has, even with the annoying retweets? 330 followers. There's 330 people that are being blasted with the WFO radio everything by Bobby Graham. Last tweets. Good morning, everybody. What a nice thing for Bobby to say. He's on there. He's a farmhand. He's a machinist. He's a country boy. He's a gearhead. And in his picture, Bobby Graham has a WFO radio shirt.
Way to go, Bobby.
What more could you ask for from a Twitter follower? If we succeed, it's going to be because of Bobby Graham.
Absolutely. Way to go, Bobby.
So as I'm going through, looking at the people who really support us, thinking about who the best of the best are, I went to Los Chingones. Fernando, who when we're doing our live show, Fernando is a convert, never heard the satellite show, listens only to WFO radio. Rudy the UPS guy brought him in. And Los Chingones, he's retweeted, his last three retweets are from us. John Force Racing retweeting our interview with Brittany. The NHRA press conference. And then again, how many followers does Los Chingones have? 122. Huh, interesting. So then I moved on to another, like, who else retweets our stuff? Rich and Saugus. Rich and Saugus is a big retweeter of all our stuff. And look at Rich and Saugus, certainly. What his last four retweets. The press conference audio, press conference audio, just blasting his Twitter followers, blasting them. How many Twitter followers does Rich and Saugus have?
About 30.
122.
Wow, is that the exact same amount or one off?
Wait a second. It is the exact same amount. Funny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing!
How many times is that going to happen? That two of our great Twitter followers, who both enjoy the show, are becoming little characters on the show, and the listeners are listening, and they're both great guys. Rich and Saugus is out there taking pictures of the WFO thing, been around since the satellite days. Los Chincones is calling in on terrestrial radio shows when we need him to. Perfect timing at PBIR. And they both have 122 Twitter followers. What are the odds?
I smell a competition.
It's just too good to pass up. We have to have them fight. And so...
two men enter, one man leaves.
Here's the contest. And the winner gets the first. Like, I'm not even going to put one on. This is going to be the first one. I just ordered the shirts. Guess when? Today. Black WFO radio t-shirts. Hopefully this does not make you want to not buy the white t-shirts, of course, because we still have some stock. But black are coming. Rich and low.
Well, those that don't have the white can get black and white.
Rich and low have both agreed to participate in this contest. I checked with them.
Oh, I thought you were just making this up right now.
I checked to see if they would be okay with being in a contest.
Okay.
For a prize. I did not tell them what it would be. I told them that I would announce it on the show. Here it comes. Rich and Saugus and Los Chincones both have 122 Twitter followers as of 7:11 p.m. January 28th, Wednesday. Whoever has the most Twitter followers by the start of the Daytona 500 when the green flag drops wins the shirt. Now, what are the rules? You can't buy Twitter followers. That's against the rules because, you know, there's a lot of people that do that. Are you aware of that? That you can go buy for like $20, I'll give you 50 Twitter followers.
No.
Yeah. Right. It's a horrible thing because those aren't real people. In the social media world, it's better to have 100 people who really like you and really follow you and really care than 10,000 who don't really give a crap where you are or what you're doing. So, Rich and Low, tweet some good stuff. What do you got? Pictures? Like cool things happening? Like maybe a video? Like maybe there's a turtle on the side of the road while you're dropping off UPS packages? Or maybe Rich is out there like snowboarding, doing something cool with a WFO thing like on his snowboard? I don't know. I have just put these guys into a competition against each other. And they didn't even know it. Maybe they'll tweet and they'll be like, I don't want to be in this. This is just too much pressure. And then the other guy will get the shirt. Or maybe they'll just decide, you know what, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to be normal. And whoever naturally has...
organically gets the most.
Thank you for saying organic. I've been searching for that word now for like 3 days. Thank you. Organically. I've been asking
you
for...
Why didn't you just ask me?
Because I have. I'm trying to think of a word, you know, like natural. And you're like...
Don't panic if it's organic, my friend.
I like that. So, there it is. We start at 122. And the reason for this...
And to the end, I grapple with thee.
To the last, I grapple with thee. Exactly. It's all good-natured, and at the end of it all, who wins?
The t-shirt.
But, yes, they win a t-shirt, but who wins?
WFO.
Two of the best guys out there Twittering, promoting our stuff. They're going to tweet all kinds of great stuff. Suddenly, they're thrown into the pit of competition. Now, I know Lowe would probably rather compete against Rudy. And Rich is like this peaceful guy. He's like, you know, laid back, peaceful dude. And this is a real peaceful thing. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what they tweet. So there's Rich_in_Saugus. And then there is, I just want to say them both on the air, to be fair, at, what is it? Loiza Jr. Fern. And there you have it. The contest of the ages. The clash of the titans. All right, Giovanni. Super Bowl pick time. Let's go. You can tell I'm running out of gas here. I don't know if I sound like it. It's over. It's not going to happen anymore.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, the game, the big game. It's a great, great. I was kind of torn a little bit. I like the Seahawks because they remind me of those old school Hurricanes where they just
you're going
beat
with
you
Brady.
Down.
You're going Tom Brady.
Beat you down. What makes you say that?
I can tell
I like
already.
Seahawks.
You can tell already for all the Jeff Gordon, Derek Jeter analysis. Same stuff. Same reason. Go ahead. Never mind. I'm sorry. Go.
That I really find myself attracted to the Seahawks team because of the whole.
You find yourself attracted to Tom Brady. Is that why you're picking them? All
right, no,
I'm
I
sorry.
Like the Seahawks because they talk trash, they beat you up, and they let you know about it. And that reminds me of our old school Hurricane teams here in the 80s and 90s.
To you, baby.
And so,
six titles.
Rather close to home. But I actually think that the way they're constructed this year, New England is probably going to win a close game that might get a little bit further away at the end. But
really?
I think New England brings it down.
Huh.
The way that Seattle has come back the last week and – they kind of had a little bit of a hard time on the offensive end against teams like Carolina and Green Bay. I think the Patriots find a way to score, and I just don't know if the Seattle offense will be able to keep up with them scoring-wise. Because other than Lynch, they really don't have that kind of superstar on offense.
Wow.
So give me Tom Brady to bring it home. And, you know, Tom Brady is two plays away from being 5-0 in the Super Bowl. Let's not forget that. Like,
yeah, I know.
We act like Tom Brady has lost it, and he kind of sucks and all this, but he's really two plays away from being 5-0. So I think that they're going to – I just so far right now, the way things have gone, I think with the whole deflate gate and all that, I think that makes them kind of focus in a little, zero in on the prize, and they finally
They're being called cheaters by everyone, including Saturday Night Live, which I don't know if you saw that, but it was very funny.
Oh, yeah, I know. They totally just blame Brady. Yeah. It was great. It was funny. That was a real funny bit.
I don't know things. I make that much money. I don't know things. That's a lot.
How about the – hey, Aaron Hernandez, that guy is locked up for a few murders.
Look, my opinion, they did it. But I don't care because –
Well, did you see the story I sent you about
– Yes.
I've seen a lot of empirical data. I didn't really pay attention to this until I saw that story with the empirical data.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really telling that from 2007
plus now
forward,
a ball boy took the balls into a bathroom.
All right, now we'll give you this. He took the bathroom about 80 to 90 seconds, they said.
Yeah.
You know, is it? But not just 12 balls. He had all 24 balls.
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that a ball boy just grabbed the balls and on his way onto the field had to go take a leak?
There was, well, yeah.
And was in there
sure,
for
it's possible.
60, 70, 80, 90 seconds and ran out because –
Sure, it is possible. Or maybe there was another bag of balls in there and he swapped them out. Or a million possible things. Who knows?
I know, a million things. But I like to say
But what
that.
Difference does it make? They did it. They got away with it. They won 42-7. The Colts only scored 7 points. If they had won, the game was too lopsided to matter.
They changed the balls at the halftime.
Doesn't
and
matter.
New England won 28-0
Enough.
In the second half. That's not the point.
Bill Belichick is the Chad Knauss of football. We all get it. Some people can't deal with it. Move on. The big game.
I think New England's going to win.
All right, I'm going to give you my analysis.
I kind of want to root for Seattle, but I actually think New England.
Craig in Seattle is out there listening. He's very frustrated.
Sorry, Craig, don't drive off the road right now.
And you know, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so I have to hate the Patriots. 1985, when the Miami Dolphins and Dan Marino were the only team to defeat the Chicago Bears on their way to doing the Super Bowl shuffle. We were beaten in the AFC Championship game by the New England Patriots. At that time, there was born a hatred that will last forever. But because of all that stuff I told you about Jeff Gordon, I really do and have learned and grown to love and respect what Tom Brady is capable of doing. Guy is never out. He's never down. The game is never over. He can beat you at any point. Came back from down 14 twice in a game to win. The guy is that good. He deserves that kind of respect. If I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk. I respect Tom Brady. Belichick is obviously great, too. Just like I said, he's the Chad Knauss of football coaches. Gray area? Maybe not so gray area. We're going to get it done. We're going to win. You know, beg forgiveness. Don't.
I would say push the boundaries.
Push the boundaries. Beg forgiveness. Don't ask permission. That kind of stuff. Pete Carroll, on the other side of the thing, Pete Carroll
he's
is the
no
guy
angel either.
Who gave us the choke sign. The Dolphin connection is we missed a field goal, and here he's a head coach. Given the choke to, I think it was Pete Stoyanovich. Yes.
Or when it was,
was
the
Jets.
It was, the Jets, with
it was
the
with the Jets. That was an evil low class move. And so I don't really like him either.
Well, the thing I never really, the thing that bothered me the most about Pete was the USC thing. The whole pretending to not know. And then he goes off to multi-million-dollar contract in Seattle and USC gets in all kinds of trouble. And what's the name, Reggie Bush is giving, taking, they're taking away his Heisman and all kinds of stuff, and that kind of stuff bothers me. And that's just it. Like, you guys, you know, Pete Carroll can't just pretend like, oh, I didn't know. Please, come on. You went to recruit this kid from the ghetto, and you didn't know that his parents couldn't afford to travel on every road trip?
No, he knew, but they're all dirty. They're all dirty.
No, exactly.
Dirty.
So that dirty. Kind of stuff, that's what bothered me about Pete.
But what was he supposed to not do?
No, but that's the whole point, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
he just,
but
know.
He gets to go off and nothing happens to him.
Right. That's what he gets
and
to do.
And that's really that the whole thing that kind of really made me not, like, root for Pete.
You know, but some of the wildebeest get eaten by the lions, man. It's just the way it works. It. You know, they cross,
look, this is,
they cross the lake.
You can say that this is a competition between the two teams that kind of push the boundaries the most. Seattle's had their issues with they've been accused of over-practicing and hitting on days that you're not supposed to be hitting and
right.
stuff like that. Like, hey, is that cheating? Is that pushing the boundaries? You're out there hitting and practicing when no one else is allowed to? The guy, how many Adderall and steroid accusations and guys have been suspended under Pete's watch over there? So
Pete was,
you know,
at the Patriots.
The
he was a Patriots coach.
The boundaries
he left
there too.
The Patriots for Bill Belichick. It's going to be very, very interesting game. Here's what I will say in terms of, I like Richard Sherman. I like the Legion of Boom. I am against the Patriots. So I am totally conflicted on, like, who I want to win. Tom Brady's great career bookended with Super Bowl victories. That would be a cool story. The Legion of Boom, a defensive-minded team beating Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in back-to-back Super Bowls to then become the greatest defense ever in the history of the NFL, clearly, because it's an offensive league right now. Those two stats, beating the two maybe best quarterbacks ever, or certainly of our generation, back-to-back in Super Bowls in an offensive era, that would be tremendous. I don't like Marshawn Lynch because he won't talk to the media. Gio hates me because of that, but whatever.
I get it. I totally get
he
the
gets
beast
it.
Mode
I don't
thing.
Get it. I hate it.
I get it. Joe doesn't get it. Joe
don't like it.
We're having a very
like
adamant
it.
Discussion here about
just
this
talk to the media,
the
man. Just talk to the media. The poor kid who's going out there to do his job. You're basically taking out all your anger and hatred at the media complex
but this
on
is the
this
thing.
Kid.
It's not some poor kid that's
yeah,
out there,
it is.
Dude.
Some guy.
It's not the darkness
some
out there
dude.
Chasing the Marlin beat for
yes,
for
it
a
is.
Quote. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I know it's not. It's not.
It's
not
guys
that
who
guy.
Work at regular radio stations and news outlets and people just because one or two guys misquoted him in the past. He is coloring the media with a broad brush, which is something you're not supposed to do. It's just like any one of a million scenarios I can create where one person of one group, whether it be a business group or a societal group, does something negative to a person, and then they hold everybody in the future responsible for that one thing that happened to them bad. That's generally frowned upon in life. And that's what he's doing. But as you point out, and you are right, that's his right. He can do that if
he
wants.
He's paying the fine. That's it.
He's wasting all of our time. He's wasting my time. So I generally don't like him. The guy can run the rock, though.
Beast mode.
He can. All right. So who do you want to win the game?
I'm not betting against New England. So that's where it's at.
What's the spread?
It's a pick 'em -1 towards New England. It opened up at -2, 2.5 towards Seattle. But by the time that the New England game against Indianapolis ended, it was a pick 'em.
Pick 'em.
Pick 'em. Basically, pick a winner, which is also the only thing you really need to do. There's been 48 previous Super Bowls, and if you just pick the winner of the Super Bowl is 48-6-1 or 48-6-2 or so against the spread. So you just have to pick a winner.
So here's the logic that I'm going with, and then we're done. Belichick got to watch how the Hawks dismantled Peyton Manning last year. Got to watch that and try to plan for it. The Hawks, do New England have the athletes? You know, Edelman, those guys, their whole thing is
the
scheme.
Gronk, man, it's the Gronk. If the Gronk could get turned loose on, is it Earl Thomas, the safety, the one that's with the separated shoulder?
Yes.
If that's the matchup, because Bill Belichick is the best at exploiting the matchup. Whatever
yeah,
it is, your weakness
deal.
Or your best
deal.
Thing, he's the best at finding that. And he just does. Look at the way they tore into New England, into Indy, and the way they beat everybody down. They find what it is you do, and they stop your best player, and then they attack your weakness. Whatever it is, they just attack it.
Gronk, man. Gronk is serious.
So I expect
all right, Patriots.
That's it. And Seattle's defense hasn't been as good this year as it was last year. I would give you that.
And Russell Wilson is not going to be able to, as great as he is, to fire up a total prayer.
And it's just that Seattle's offense against Carolina didn't have a great day. And against Green Bay, which is not really
they
such
were ready
a great
to
defense,
lose. That was a gift
they,
from
they
the heavens.
They really should have lost that game.
Gift
and
from
so
the heavens.
I say that New England and the evil emperor,
the
Belichick,
evil genius, yeah,
figures out how to attack their scheme and they win the game. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout 45-7, which you never know. Those things, sometimes it just turns out that way because once the ship gets rolling.
That's not
going to
happen.
No, I expect it to be it's probably going to be one of those really good Super Bowls like in the last few years that they've turned out, like the Steelers, Arizona, and even all those Patriot-Giants Super Bowls that came down to the last drive.
Right.
That's what happens with the Patriots are involved in a lot of games that come down to the last drive.
Well, here we go.
So
there it is. So Joe and Gio both take the Patriots.
Yeah.
So sorry, Craig in Seattle. Yeah, so bet the other way. Yeah, well, last year I took Peyton Manning and it didn't turn out too good. So what do you do? Final story, Gio's crazy story, personal connection. Tony Stewart walking without a limp for the first time in 18 months has declared himself pain-free and never more eager to start a season. That's a great tease for next week.
He's back, baby. He's back.
And that's going to do it. Danica's in another commercial. It has been banned. I'm sure there'll be another one, as you said. Poor puppy. Falls off the back of a truck. It's on the Facebook page.
He's lost and he's going around and he finds his way back home and then they're like, oh my God, we're so worried. Thank God you got here because we just sold you on the new website we created with GoDaddy.
That's it. And they send him
and
away.
And then you see him being shipped off on the back of a truck.
Right.
And there's like two or three different versions. That's what it really
to
is.
To a glue factory.
But no, you see, I don't think it's that evil. But I do think that this is a marketing scheme by GoDaddy that they just release a commercial that they don't even plan on getting played
on the air.
No,
seriously, here's the deal, really. Seriously, Danica Patrick, who I love and respect and always champion her, has got to show some skin in a Super Bowl commercial before the end of her career. You know, this is a contract year for her. She teased us in the beginning by being scantily clad and sexy, and then the past several years has gotten cute with muscle suits and fat suits and silly stuff, and that's BS.
But that's it. You know, she's a hot veteran now. Show us what you
Danica,
got, baby.
Danica, we love you, but no one outruns Mother Nature and the way it is, and you better show it while you got it, because you've been in more Super Bowl commercials than anybody in history. I'd like to see you bookend your career with great Super Bowl commercials. And there you have it. This has been the WFO Super Bowl Party. Wow, we've been all over the place. Who has got more Twitter followers as of this moment? Los Jincones or Rich and Saugus? Who knows? What's going to happen in the future WFO? I don't know. What about the NHRA press conference? Did you listen to it? Did you share it? Who knows? And all that and more. We'll be back next week with Nitro. Going to have another great show. Ignition, of course. It goes on and on. Next week, get this, folks. I have the fantasy information.
Woo!
I have it. It's coming. The fantasy information is coming. The VIPs, the people who are done well, check your inbox. It's coming. That's it. See you next time.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Yeah, welcome to the party.